Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Russell will inbound at half court. Stockton, open three, good! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Halliday's got his size. The 1-2 pitch. Hit toward third. Castro has it. Spins, fires. A perfect game. Roy Halliday has thrown the second perfect game in Philadelphia Phillies history.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on a Fast Break Friday.
What is happening?
NBA's coming back. We're getting back to Fast Break Friday.
We're feeling good. NBA's back. Fast Break Friday.
That's, yeah.
Up tempo, three-man weave. Let's do this.
Just going to say this.
Okay, fire away.
Let's have fun for 3 hours.
I'm all for it, man.
Because I think a lot of people need it.
It's a little depressing out in the world right now. And
it's beyond a little, but yeah.
Turning on the tweet that I chuckled at most this morning was the fake Bo Pelini. I was playing golf and I took a gander at my phone at the turn just to see if I had missed anything or if it was still a depressing cesspool that I didn't want to get anywhere near.
Yeah.
And it still was that. But upon my scrolling through Twitter, I saw Bo Pelini tweet out, "I miss the Murder Hornets days." And I thought, you know what? I do too, Bo. I do too.
2020, going by fast and slow. Is that possible?
Yeah, it feels like it's been the longest and the fastest, you know, 3 months in the history of mankind.
Like March was dragging on, and yeah, then April flew by. I didn't even know it happened, and yeah, now May's basically done.
And it feels like May's taking a lot longer than April. I don't know about you guys. Feels like May's dragged a little bit here.
May's gone on a little longer than April. I'll give you that.
Yeah, a little dragging of the feet.
But I think that comes with the territory of surrounding events.
Well, let me throw this out. If we want to be in a good mood and have some fun today, now we need help from listeners on this, okay? Because I already have side bets going with friends. This literally was the first thing that was texted to the group. So,
okay,
can I break the news? Am I allowed to break the news? Am I allowed to say it?
I actually don't. I mean, I don't know why you can't. Okay. Nobody said we couldn't talk about it.
Can I fire from the hip?
You're not hitting the breaking news sounder, are
no,
you?
No, we don't need the sounder. Okay. No sounder needed. Right. No, right. No, nothing going on. No,
I didn't know.
Okay. What's going on? No, nothing's happened. Swagger's confused. His mustache is confused.
I feel like Swag's going to make me run suicides after practice.
He totally
now
is, dude. Do some up downs. Yeah. Give me 50 push ups.
Come on, you pansy. You sent me 4 minutes before the show started.
I didn't know you were. I did. Come on.
Easy. What are we doing here?
I'm a little disheveled, too. I got in late. I haven't peed. I had to pee, but then I had to record something. I haven't peed, so I'm going to have to take a leak this entire segment. We'll power through. We'll power through. We found out this morning that the three of us, plus Dusty Hera, plus
the three,
plus Luke Anderson.
So three plus one plus one.
That makes five.
Yeah.
We are going down to the Bandon Dunes this weekend. and are going to play Sheep Ranch, their new course, which opens up next week. We are going to play on Sunday.
It opens to the public Monday, June 1st.
Monday, June 1st, yeah. So that's when it opens. We're going to get a little sneak peek. We'll come back and we'll talk about it.
We will be test driving it for you.
So I sent out an immediate group text to humble brag to all my friends because
you're that guy.
I am totally
that guy.
I am totally that guy. We have been texting in a group feed about Sheep Ranch for months.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Dude, this course is a big deal, man. This course is huge.
You and your friends are nerds.
So I immediately sent an ocean green picture of Sheep Ranch.
You're
I was
such
like,
a
guess,
jerk.
Guess where I'll be on Sunday. You know what the immediate response was, though? What's the over-under on Sprague's round?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We need to set over-unders.
No, that's not an
out. That's not an out because he could hit the under. But just what should the over-under on our golf rounds be at Sheep Ranch on Sunday?
Look, the only person that says ouch in that situation is one that's not in tune with his reality. And I am in tune.
You're in tune, man. You're in tune with your body.
I am a very bad golfer.
Sure.
I love to be out there, though.
Dare I say this? I think Link-style golf at Bandon Dunes will fit.
Shut up.
Hold on.
Stop.
Let me finish.
I don't need you to finish. I know what you're going to say.
It might fit your game well. Now, if you're going to chunk it around, of course, you're not going to score well. But
which is entirely possible.
When you hit the ball well off the tee box, what kind of shot shape do you have? You're a bit of a low stinger.
I'm a stinger guy.
Dude,
yeah.
You're a line drive hitter.
Yeah.
You don't pop it up. You don't get it in the air. There's no loft on your pro. Like, you are a stinger.
I am.
And you're going to be able to keep the ball under the wind if you hit it well.
Make that baby roll.
That's what you got to do. It's Link's golf.
Now, full disclosure on this, we're going to Sprague the line later, so you guys can make fun of the golf game at 2:30 today.
Yeah, we need to come up with the numbers and then take over-unders.
I think it's a fair observation, my friends, given we just all golfed together and
exactly.
I finished dead last out of 16 people.
That was their thought process.
I did cut the strokes down throughout the three-day golf rounds,
but
it still was not very good and I didn't break 100.
No.
This is part of not golfing for almost 2 years. You got to get back on that saddle.
Yeah, it'll bite you every now and then.
I think looking at the pictures of Bandon on any of their courses, every time I look, I say, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it terrifies me how bad I would be playing at that course or courses.
Sure.
I think the over under number should be 114 and a half.
For you, 114 and a half?
114 and a half is where you place it. And I am not convinced at all as the guy that's 114 and a half that I'm hitting that under.
Okay.
But that's a very high. I mean, that is like nines and tens almost every hole.
That's a lot of snowmans.
Yeah,
you know? It's a lot of triple bogeys. There.
Yeah.
So somebody wanted to know what are our handicaps? I'm currently at an 11.
If I'm being real, I'm probably like a 24 right now.
I'm a bogey golfer. I'm right at 18.
18. Okay. Oh. Yeah, and you're 20. You don't have an official handicap, but you're 20s, low 20s. I'll
sure.
give you.
Okay.
Because I have some buddies who have official handicaps that are somewhere in the neighborhood of you as a golfer, and they're all 20 to 21 kind.
Your
of
friend
range,
Spencer's
right?
not much better than me.
Ooh, shots fired.
Now
I just golfed with him.
Shots fired. He's a 14.
He beat me by like two strokes.
Shots fired.
So we'll have to see
listening
what,
right now.
What
oh, he is. And
I
it's bothering
him this
him.
Morning. He closed with a par. He's all fired up.
I'm trying to find a scorecard. The black tees. So like the championship tees, that's nearly 6,800 yards.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to play.
I'm not interested in.
Where's the women's tees?
Move it on up.
I'm hoping there's something, the blue tees or white tees, whatever they may be, something in the 6,100 to 6,200 yards range.
That sounds about right.
Which
that's
is
fair.
What we should be playing.
Yeah, that's in our ballpark.
So there's three par threes on the front nine, though.
Ooh.
And then the back nine gets lengthy.
Oh, interesting.
So on the black tees, it's only 3,095 yards on the front, and there's three par threes. The back nine
is it a par 70, 71?
It's 71.
71.
The back nine is 3,690 yards from the black tees, only one par three. You finish.
It feels so good to nerd out on golf right now.
You finish 16's a par three. That's the only par three at 170 yards. Then a 420 par four, and the finishing hole is a 470 yard par four.
Now,
let the big dog eat.
You know, I came in today and Dirt was fired up, rightfully so. Swag is pretty fired up.
Raging golf hard on all day today.
I am also extremely excited.
Yeah.
Although I don't think my excitement has hit me yet. The way you guys are already as if we're there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that stems from. The fact that I never thought I would ever play Bandon Dunes because all I've heard is amazing things.
Yeah, it's the golf mecca of the world.
The fact that it opened up for this to happen and yesterday I was convinced it wasn't. In fact, I told the wife and an hour after me telling the wife, I got a text saying it's happening.
Yeah.
The wife just laughed and said, I knew this would go down.
Just kind of chuckled. It always works out well.
I don't think I haven't reached your excitement level yet. And that doesn't mean I'm not pumped. I think it's going to hit me on the first tee box, which It'll is probably going to derail my round.
It'll hit you. So the crazy thing about Sheep Ranch is we had somebody that texted in, they already played it, said you're in for a treat, which is awesome. They have it's obviously on the ocean down at Bandon Dunes.
Yeah,
and there are a number of holes on each course, not a ton, but a couple of holes that go along the ocean. This one has eight, I want to say.
Yeah, there's a whole stretch of it that's right along the bluff
over the coastline.
So
this is their jewel of the crown golf course they have been building for years now.
I'm trying to remember we had on the golf show a few weeks ago, Jeff Simons on, who's the director of resort operations down there, just kind of when they announced they were going to start opening up again and have rounds and people could go. And he mentioned that. I believe he mentioned there's no sand on this. There's
I
no bunkers.
Because I can't get out of the sand. Thank God.
And I
need all the help I can get.
Try and go research to make sure that that's... Now, there's all sorts of swales and places that you can get in trouble on.
Random trees and fairways.
But I believe
I've seen that picture.
This course does not have bunkers.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a Langdon Farms experience.
So I'm going to throw... You want to be thrown in at a 114 and a half? That's your opening offer?
Well, what do you think? You know how bad I am.
I know you.
I was at a point, by the way, where I was like a regular 94-ish.
What was your average for the three? You shot about an average 102?
Probably, yeah.
So you add 10 to 12 strokes?
I think we should go no more than 110.
Really?
Ooh, you're going to make him be sub 110.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
And watch me shoot 115 when we go down there.
Swagger top.
You need to do me a favor, though.
I'm more than capable of that.
Absolutely.
But.
Look. I think we all have
just made my Siri go off.
We've all gotten to the mindset of
Siri's fired up too.
Even if we all blow up, one of us, two of us, doesn't matter. I think we're all going to just take it with a grain of salt and be happy to be there.
Yep.
Can you not be?
I promise. Yeah,
a tightwad.
Don't be
a grumpy
golfer.
Were?
Yeah.
Your back nine, you were not fun to play with. You just on off with a cart. You wouldn't say hi.
No, no, no.
Hurt my feelings.
My ankle was on fire too, as we found out I had a big case of tendonitis.
Well, you should have told me. I had some Coke.
So.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
What?
Hey. Wait, what? What? What just happened? Huh?
No.
What did I miss?
Kind of just threw that one in there, didn't I?
I'm going to have a really good time.
I'm just kidding. I don't
okay,
have that.
I agree with Swigard, but I'll set it at 110 and a half. So if you
That's
hit
fair.
A 110, you hit the under. You're capable of hitting a 110, man. You got that in you. Have some confidence, okay?
Oh, I'll have confidence when I hit the course, but right now I don't have that confidence. I'm going to probably take the over.
110 and a half. Swigard, what do you want your over-under to be?
I want to
check.
As an
18 handicap, you want to go 100?
Yeah, 100.
You break 100?
That's a good goal.
That's where I should be. I should not be shooting over 100.
I'm going to get aggressive and go 90 and a half. I'm going to break 90.
What's your average right now?
Not good this summer. I'm not playing very well.
I feel like that's kind of the vibe I've gotten from you.
Not feeling it. I'll feel it for like four holes and then throw up like three straight double bogeys. Mm. And then you find it, then you lose it, then you find it.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it for 18 holes on Sunday.
That's better than me. I go 16 and throw up all over myself and have two great holes. So there you go.
And I'll have to text Dusty. I don't know what Dusty's handicap is.
I don't either.
So I got to text him and I'll get the official answer from him, and then we'll throw his over under out, and then we'll throw some bets on that at Spritz in the Line at 2:30.
All right, we'll Spritz the Line at 2:30. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
All right, what's on tap brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Good news from them. They posted that they will be opening.
Great news.
And they'll be doing social distance dining.
Yeah.
So it's admittedly probably going to be tough for a lot of people that want to go back to the coast and go visit our great friends over there. Obviously, limited seating. They'll be doing masks. They have guidelines. You can go follow their Instagram account. I told our buddy Ryan, who works for them, I said, your Instagram account's been more dialed in than in the past. It's just more connected to the coast.
For sure.
It has a more family, low-key vibe. Go follow their Instagram account. It's great. But they have the guidelines up, and it's good news for them. They're going to reopen. And they'll still have takeout, too. If you can't get a seat, you can do takeout. And social distance on the beach or go home or hotel or whatever you end up doing.
It's easy, man. Well, grab a beer, go drink it on the beach, wait for your food to get made, and you take it with you.
All right, so I got a pretty positive story. I want to start the show with at 12:15.
Those still exist? Those are out there?
They do.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
good.
They're good.
Okay.
The Daily Ticker, we're going to go to Minneapolis. There's no way around this. And if you have no interest, I get it. But we're a show that I want to recognize what's going on, and I don't know how you ignore it. So we're going to talk with Matthew Collar. You may know that name. He's been on a couple times. He covers the Minnesota Vikings, does a podcast. But we're going to bring him on. I just want to pick his brain of what the city is like. We're not going to talk sports with him. So Matthew Collar will join us for the Daily Ticker in Minnesota. I've got a question of the day, not a sports question of the day, but a question of the day. And I'll tell you what that is at 12:45. I don't want to ruin that yet. There's audio connected to it. So I'm going to fire everybody up. I've got an insane story of people who were looking for sympathy and got none of it.
Oh, is this the...
Yes,
we need to talk about that. What the hell is wrong with people?
They built a brand on a lie, is the way the wife and I took away from this story.
God, I couldn't believe that reading it about it last
night. So we'll get that. We'll spritz the line today. We got crunch time to get to as well. We're ready to go today. We will start with a good-hearted sports story. This one was fantastic, and we'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan and Radio.com. Thanks for hanging with us. We got a whole lot more to get to on this Friday show. We're back with more in just a minute. All right, we're going to go to Minneapolis coming up here on the ticker. Check in. What's going on over there? I have a cousin. Well, it's my wife's cousin, but he's my family. I love that guy. He's like my brother. And he actually lives right near the Target that got looted.
Really? Yeah.
He says he's like 4 miles from it. And I've been texting the last 2 days, like, hey, how's it going? First day he said, media's kind of blowing this a little out of proportion. It's not as bad as it seems right now. He sent me a picture of like a group of people up the road from him. Later that night, when the Target started getting looted, he said, okay, it's getting a little crazy.
Yeah, going a little crazy.
And yesterday I saw some stuff and I texted, hey, you doing okay again? He's like, yeah, they moved farther north, but it's pretty insane right now. I'll share more sentiments on that when we talk with Matthew Collar, because he gave me his opinion. And look, he served in the military for damn near a decade. Mm-hmm. He's an Asian American man. He lives in Minneapolis. He's got, regular Joe,
right.
And he gave me some thoughts on what's going on over there. But we'll talk with Matthew Collar over there in Minnesota coming up in 10 minutes. I wanted to start the show today. As soon as I saw this story, I said, we're going there 12:15.
Let's do it.
I thought this was really cool. I don't teams be damned, players, what do you think of them? That doesn't matter right now. I just wanted to share this. So the Oakland A's, remember we talked about this, the Oakland A's, they announced that they were furloughing everybody. They were making cuts in their farm system. They basically couldn't afford to pay their rent. Excuse me. I just drank a bang, so it's making me a little burpy. But the A's were being cheap asses.
Yes, they were.
Then yesterday, the Mets and the Reds, even though Corey Brock told us this is kind of cut season for minor leaguers.
Well, they had a thing where usually there's not big, but cuts that come at the end of spring training. That didn't happen this year because spring training was halted, 2 weeks into it or whatever it was.
So the Mets and Reds, there were some people they cut and people viewed it as money-saving options. It sounded great because the Mariners are going to pay their farm system throughout the year. The Royals just announced they're going to pay their farm system the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I'm loving those stories. There's still a lot of teams that are uncertain. They will not commit to it yet.
Or have committed to it to a certain date, like through June, but not the rest of the summer, that kind of stuff.
Well, one player has also seen these stories, and he's in the middle of a battle with the ownership groups. He said, you know what? I make amazing money, and I don't care. I'm spending some money to help these guys. David Price will pay out of his money $1,000 during the month of June to each minor league player in the Dodgers system. That's a 40-man roster, or the 40-man roster not included.
Yeah.
According to multiple sources, David Price is going to pay $1,000 to each minor league player in the month of June.
Yeah, and it was reported, I think, that it was going to impact about 200 minor leaguers, somewhere in that ballpark. So you're talking a lot of money if you're going a grand a month for each of them. We reported this where these guys are making $400 a week. I mean, that was the going rate salary for minor league players. So it wasn't a lot to begin with. And now a lot of them are out of jobs, which is tough to just be in the current climate and not have a job right now. So this was incredible. I agree with you 100%. No matter the feelings about organizations, when you have somebody, David Price makes a lot of money, man. He's got a good salary, signed a huge contract with Boston, now with the Dodgers. He clearly has the means to pull something like this off, and he understands because he's been there before. He's been a minor league baseball player. He understands that process, and you've been in the big leagues that long. You meet a lot of guys that come and go. Some of them never make it to the big leagues, but $400 a week is not a lot to live on, and that's what a lot of these guys are trying to live on right now. So for him to step up and do this, the only frustration part is the fact that you have billionaire owners that aren't willing to commit to their minor leaguers and pay them, which is just crazy to think about. And then you have a millionaire athlete that is willing to do it and then some by giving them $1,000 a month. But hats off to David Price, man. These kind of stories are exactly what we need in a time like this.
Well, and I would hope to also say on this, because this the COVID pandemic stuff's been going on for a few months now. I'm not one that loves to rush in as soon as something catastrophic happens and, oh, demand that the money goes here, the money goes there. I get it. Stuff takes time. You got to sort situations out. It's not as simple as it sounds, right? Like, people were trying to pressure the Blazers on committing to paying the arena staff day one of the cancellation. Yeah, I'd like to see them get paid too. Sometimes it's, you know, you got to figure some stuff out. You're trying to navigate the season. You're trying to talk to the commissioner. Eventually, the Blazers committed to that. So
yeah,
I'm not one
a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, I don't want to rush in and just condemn every owner of any sports team if they don't react right away. I would like to see them do the right thing. And some teams haven't committed to it yet. I'm hoping that they do, but this is a good act. David Price does this. Maybe this motivates the Dodgers, if they have not announced yet, and if they have, then apologies. Maybe the Dodgers come out and see this story and go, oh, guy hasn't even played a game for us and he's paying our farm system.
Right.
Maybe now they'll go, all right, we'll cover the rest of the year.
Yeah, how bad does that make the Dodgers look if they back out? Now, I will say, because you asked the question, they're one of the teams that have committed through June. So they haven't committed. I don't know what their plans are for July and August, because the minor league baseball season goes all summer. It's not like it ends at the end of June.
If the Seattle Mariners can afford to do this, the Dodgers can.
The Dodgers can, right? So they've committed to June. You're hopeful that they commit for the rest of the summer. But to your point, I mean, how embarrassing of a look is that if he commits to doing it for the rest of the year and the Dodgers cut off payments and he's the only one that's giving them any money for the final 2 months? There's so many unintended consequences of stuff like this where, you know, you think of major league sports and we're all focused on that and trying to get them back. And it would be sports nirvana if we get everything back in July and golf and baseball and hockey and the NBA and everything's going on at the same time again. And signs are pointing ahead towards football. But the unintended consequences are the ripple effect down the line. And I think minor league baseball is a huge one of that. And we have multiple minor league baseball teams in our community that are not going to be able to likely play seasons this year. So you think about all the lost revenue, the jobs, like Swag Works for the Hops, and people are affected by that, right? And it goes on down the line. You think of a team like the Portland Winterhawks, who don't have the benefit of the doubt of having TV revenue coming in, right? Like, these teams, if they come back, they can survive. The Blazers would be fine without fans in the stands because the local TV contract, the national TV contract, like, they can make money up in that regard. Smaller market teams and minor league teams, there's no TV contract. Their revenue is entirely based on putting a product that is good enough for people to go to their games. And it kills me to think all these minor league players, some of which are at kind of the end of their baseball run, yeah, it's likely not going to be a season this year for them. And some of them are just done playing baseball now because there's not going to be a path forward.
Well, and you do get the crowd that when you talk about multimillionaires or 100 millionaires, it's, you know, almost no sympathy. It's, you know, cry me a river or whatever. You know, watching that Last Dance docuseries, I'm not going to tie this to anything Bulls related, but you know, the episode I loved a lot was him retiring and going to play baseball, because I think it's a subtle reminder to sports fans and media alike. When you saw the highlights, I thought one of the cooler things was how Jordan, when he retired and went to the Barons, his celebrity was so big, and you know, they were selling out AA games everywhere he went.
That's why they had to put him in AA. He right. wasn't ready for AA, but they needed the infrastructure for him.
And he wanted to escape the celebrity, I think, for just a minute, just to breathe, you know, cameras in his face all the time. Watching the highlights of his teammates throw water on him or joke and laugh with him in the locker room, and then you hear the stories of he really liked those guys because, you know, yeah, they knew he was Michael Jordan, and I'm sure all of them probably asked for an autograph. But at the end of the day, those are all guys from 18 years old to
Hell, 30. You could be 30, in AA
33
baseball,
years old, trying to just live their dreams out, not making peanuts, and just really playing for what fans always cry for, right? Yeah. The love of the game. And a lot of those guys, that's what they're doing. And I thought it was a really cool moment to watch some of those highlights of them just clowning around, playing ping pong in the locker room, dumping water on each other, joking. They used to talk about how they played basketball with Mike before or after games or whatever. That's kind of some of symbolic, I think, of how we view sports. And so a move like this by David Price, yeah, he's made a lot of money in his career, no doubt. But a player stepping up before an organization, not the Dodgers, but any organization that hasn't spoke out about this, I think that speaks volume. So I thought that was a really cool story and a great move by David Price to do that.
Yeah, you just got guys that are trying to fight for their dreams and live out their dreams and hanging on in minor league baseball. And it's not easy. This has been a battle that's been brewing now for years because a lot of them are paid below minimum wage. When you think of the hours that go into it and the financial reimbursement that they get for it, and they've been battling about how many teams, and that was an ongoing thing all offseason, how many teams should you have, and how many are going to get cut, and how many are Major League Baseball teams willing to pay for. This has been an ongoing thing, and it's come to a head this year, unfortunately, because of the virus, and a lot of them are out of a job. And there's another story I want to get to later in the show about a Mets minor leaguer.
I was going to bring that up, Andrew Church.
Yeah, he launched into a bit of a tirade, upset because he was one of the guys that was cut by the Mets, and his career is likely over now.
Goes at Tebow, too.
Yeah, it's not an easy grind for those guys, and $400 a week is not a lot of money. So hats off to David Price, man. This is really cool.
All right, coming up next, the Daily Ticker. We're going to go to Minneapolis. We're talking with Matthew Collar. He covers the Vikings for a living, but we're gonna talk with Matthew about what it's like over there right now, given everything that you've seen in the news for the last 48 hours. So we'll talk with Matthew Collar in Minneapolis. He'll join us next for the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a lot been going on 48 hours in Minneapolis. Obviously, with everything that's gone down, it is impossible to ignore. So we wanted to put kind of boots on the ground there and talk with our friend Matthew Collar, who covers the Vikings for a living, does a great podcast for the Purple Insider. He's on Twitter at Matthew Collar. Give him a follow. He joins us now. Matthew, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland. And I have a family member that lives not too far away from where a lot of the protests started 2 days ago. And he's filled me in, and I thought it'd be great to get you on to give us your thoughts. I don't know how long you've lived there, maybe your whole life, but what has it been like the last 48 hours?
Yeah, I've lived here the last 4 years, and I feel like I've truly in that time become a Minnesotan. And I got to say, it leaves you without words. You know, I mean, heartbroken for George Floyd, for his family, for a community that feels so alienated by police that they are afraid that this is going to be them the next time, that they could be a person who writes a bad check and ends up dead because a police officer is violent with them. And what it leads to, as we've seen in many other instances around the country, but this one seems to have ramped up even more, is protesting and then, you know, riots from mm-hmm. that protesting, which in some ways, if you were, you know, on Twitter and you saw some of the videos that come out, some of those were some of the violence, further violence was incited by police who seemed to not be able to control the crowds. And then we had an extreme lack of leadership here from the mayor and all the way up to the governor as well, who did not, I believe, protect the city from rioting like they should have. They acted very slowly. The first we heard from the mayor was last night at 1:30 in the morning, which is just truly unacceptable. Wow. And, you know, I also think, too, that allowing the third precinct to burn down was a signal sort of to ramp up riots around the Twin Cities. So, you know, I think that not only was it handled incredibly badly by the Minneapolis police with George Floyd ending up dead, you can't handle it any worse than that, arresting someone, but then subsequently they continued to make it worse and worse and did not arrest the officer until today, which I think was another main reason for why the protests went to another level.
Yeah, I think everybody was waiting. Like, what are we waiting for here? We've seen the video. What more evidence do you need? You mentioned that happening today in custody, charges filed. What has the vibe changed at all in the city, or not so much?
Well, you know, I think that there is, in a way, some relief, but everyone you talk to kind of says the same thing. Like, is this really going to result in justice for George Floyd? Because there have been other incidents here in Minnesota. Philando Castile might be a name that people know. Philando Castile was pulled over for some, running a stoplight or something small, and he ends up being shot by an officer, and that officer was not convicted either. And it's happened far, far too many times. And I heard today something that just really blew my mind, that this is the first white officer ever charged, which is really incredible when you think about the number of violent incidences involving police. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight. My guess is that we are going to see maybe a repeat of last night, but with a lot more police presence. And that was another mistake that was made by the mayor, was not having the National Guard ready to help protect the businesses, because there are a lot of innocent business owners whose, you know, places have been looted and destroyed by fire and things like that over the last 2 days, that, you know, you think if they had reacted quickly or been better prepared, because remember, this happened on Monday. I mean, so yesterday is Thursday and you weren't ready for this to escalate. I mean, that's kind of incredible to me that they did not have a clear-cut plan. And last night, I'm watching the press conference, and the mayor is asked, what was the plan? And he had basically no answer, just a bunch of words. I mean, it felt like, as a sports reporter, when a team loses and the head coach has no answers. But in this, of course, a much more serious level than that.
Yeah, this is Matthew Collar. We normally have him on to talk Minnesota Viking or Minnesota-related stuff. He's a good friend of the show. He does the Purple Insider podcast covering the Vikings. He's on Twitter, at Matthew Collar. But given what happened with the George Floyd situation, the protests, and everything the last couple of days, we thought it'd be good to touch down in Minneapolis. You know, I watched the district attorney's comments yesterday, and it kind of just bothered me. I know I'm not from Minnesota. I've never been to Minnesota. I've always wanted to visit Minneapolis. But it was astounding to me that he thought the best approach was to hold a press conference and basically downplay the idea that the cops should be charged with murder in any degree. Like, not enough evidence. We don't know yet. Like, I'm no expert here on containing protests or trying to keep them peaceful, but it just seemed kind of stupid in a certain regard to hold a press conference and basically publicly say you're not even certain if he should be charged with murder. I felt like you just made that so much worse by doing that.
Stupid is the right word. I mean, it was really incredible to watch someone seemingly not be able to find the words to talk about the most obvious person who should be arrested in the whole world. I mean, you just can't get any more clear than that. It's on multiple video angles. You have emergency personnel telling this officer to stop doing what he's doing. I mean, it just couldn't be more clear. And what's the delay is pretty much really what set everything off last night, because there had been protests in the previous 2 days, but they did not escalate to this level until last night. It was really that press conference that I think a lot of people saw and said, are you really not going to charge this guy and not arrest this guy? And then doing it today was kind of too little too late. But your point is exactly right. Why hold a press conference to say we're not sure? And then they put out on Twitter, well, that's not really what he meant. I'm sorry.
You say what you mean.
Right. And if this is not a sports situation where a player can go back and clarify on the Players' Tribune or something. And this is, you have to know exactly how you're going to approach that and what you're going to say. And to have the leaders of the Twin Cities have no answers is truly embarrassing and has made this so much worse than it had to be. In my opinion, I think the best route would have been to say, all right, here's where the peaceful protests are going to happen, to help these people organize, to have their voices heard. Because you know what's funny about this one, and it just that has never happened before, is there's no, well, actually, there's no really politicizing it when it comes to whether the man was murdered by this officer or not.
Right.
Everyone seems to be on the same page. So you had so many people on the same page wanting the same thing, wanting to protest, wanting to have their voices heard, and yet they let it get out of control, and it's just unacceptable.
Yeah, people like in this day and age just scream like stick to sports and the thing should remain separate. It's nearly impossible to try and pull that off.
Politicians aren't going to stick to politics, right, you can shove that statement.
Well, and I've seen a lot of, I'm just curious to get your thoughts, you know, covering the local sports scene and just the impact that sports teams have had. I know Carl Anthony Towns, I think, is around, and he's already been through a lot just with the COVID stuff and his family, but I think he's been out there.
Steven Jackson.
Ryan Saunders, I saw, put out a statement on it. Just how have the two collided in a really diehard sports town?
Yeah, and the Minnesota Vikings, too, also put out a statement really quickly. And this has been a place, you know, the Minnesota Lynx a few years ago when, gosh, I mean, it's so sad that there have been so many of these that I can't remember which one it was. But I think it was in 2016 where they wore shirts to honor somebody, and the police who worked security for the arena walked out because the players had worn these shirts in support of the person who was killed by a police officer. And so the sports has always kind of been at the center of this. But this particular incident, I feel like there has been more people who have been willing to step forward and make strong statements, like you heard from Ryan Saunders. And the one encouraging thing that I will say is that you aren't just hearing, hey, this particular murder was wrong. What you're hearing is this is a systemic issue. This is something that goes far deeper, and that we need to find other solutions beyond just condemning this particular incident, because there are far too many. To hear that from white players, white coaches, black coaches, this consistent message and understanding of where the problem begins, I think is encouraging, and people being willing to step out into the light and use their voices is something that we have not always seen in sports in general.
Yeah. Matthew Collar here covers the Minnesota Vikings, does a podcast, The Purple Insider. Give him a follow on Twitter at Matthew Collar for all things Vikings, but obviously everything going on with the George Floyd situation. We're in Minneapolis now. Mike, my family member who's, and you say you've been there for 4 years, my family member who lives over there, he's been there, I think, roughly 6 or 7 years, maybe a couple years more than that, but he lives not too far from it. He sent me some pictures. He said he was cool because it was moving farther north. He said it felt different, though. He said, like, the looting looks bad on social media, no doubt about it, but he said it just kind of had a different feel, and I think you're kind of touching on that. Like, this is building to a point where the people really want to be heard in a certain regard. I just want to pick your brain on this. I saw some powerful images in Louisville last night where they were also protesting the murder of Breonna Taylor. And it was the police, and then there was a line of just white people, and then behind them were, you know, African Americans, Asian Americans, etc. And the white people were trying to basically form a unity line and say, you got to get through us if you want to really try to stop anything. He is an Asian American who lives over there, Matthew. He thinks this is actually as bad as the damage is, and obviously you don't want damage to local businesses, but he thinks it's a good city to protest and get a message out. Because his feel has been it's a city that gets supported for all causes by a lot of white people. And that's an important thing today. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. You know, this is a place that I guess I'll use the Minnesota Lynx as an example, where a lot of cities do not support their WNBA team. And here they do. And the WNBA teams are much more closer connected to causes and things like that than maybe other sports are. But here, a lot of people embrace that approach. And I think when there have been other incidents like this, that people have gathered to protest and have their voices heard, this feels like, though, more white people are finally having it sink in, which is important. That the thing that black people have been trying to say, black parents who've been trying to say, you realize I have to teach my kids how to not be killed by the police when they're little, right? Like, white people never have to go through that. We never look at George Floyd and potentially see ourselves or our kids or our, you know, people that are related to us. We never have to see that. Well, I think finally, with so many people having it sink in and so many leaders even in the sports community saying, this is what these people have gone through for years and years and years and years, and it has to stop. That is an important message to be heard outside of Minnesota. But I do think, you know, when you go and you see these protests, and my wife is a news reporter, so she's been in the middle of all this the whole time. And I asked her, like, what percentage is white? And it's a very high percentage of people protesting who are white. And I think that that if we're going to make positive change, that is what's necessary, is to make it an entire community issue instead of making it a, well, sorry, that's a black issue, not a white issue. No, this is a Minnesota issue. This is a United States issue that I hope this acts as a turning point to improve.
Yeah, there we go. Great stuff from Matthew Collar. Does an exceptional job covering the Minnesota Vikings. Give him a follow on Twitter at Matthew Collar, and his podcast for the Purple Insider has all things Vikings covered. But look, it's a big story. We thought, let's go to Minnesota, and Matthew was my first thought. So Matthew, thanks so much for hopping on with us, man. It's a difficult time for the city, but a lot can be done when people come together and heal together and unite and, you know, everything else. I hope it can turn around right away for you guys.
Yep, that is certainly my hope as well. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Matthew Collar, our good friend who covers the Vikings, just on what's happened the last couple days in Minneapolis.
It's scary, man. It's scary. And I think the ultimate resounding message is, when is enough going to be enough? And who am I to tell people how to feel or how they should react in certain situations? It's going to boil over when this stuff continues to happen. And I don't see it ending anytime soon unless there's actual structural change.
All right. Coming up next, a whole lot more, including the question of the day. Not a sports question of the day, but a question of the day with audio behind it. We'll explain more next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right. Welcome back in. Got our question of the day. Not a sports question, but a question of the day. My only two cents that I have, and I'm a white guy, so the hell do I know? I went to a pretty diverse high school, more white people than any other race, but we had a lot of African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic people. I don't know. I guess race was never really a big thing for me personally. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at somebody, oh, they're way different, you know, I can't like them or whatever. But I saw something on Twitter I thought was a good point, was murder should not be a politicized wrong or right thing. Like, that should be a pretty universal thing we disavow as a country. And yet here we are. You get a lot of people that want to call everybody terrible for protesting a situation like that. I've just always had the background, and it's okay to disagree. Some of you might even hate our show now because we did that interview to talk about a pretty big deal. I just always come from a mindset of, anything I don't understand, I'd rather try to understand versus, because I don't understand it and I feel really uncomfortable on the topic, I'm just going to ignore it, or I'm going to shout down at you.
Act like it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And that's, I don't know, man. We don't get political on this show. That's not what we do. That's never been our MO. We are largely a show that sticks to sports and then goofs around and has fun. I like to view our show as kind of like a light life slash sports show more than anything. But sometimes I think it's important to share your opinion, and my opinion is no more important than anybody listening. But if you today woke up angry because one side of the spectrum told you that everybody is a criminal and they're all looters and they're all horrible, I think you should reevaluate and don't place your anger in just anger. Place it in education. Place it on calling somebody that you think might offer a differing point of view. It's okay to have differing thoughts here on this particular issue, as long as you don't get to a point where your opinion's the one that's the most important and the one that matters the most. So I can't offer a whole lot. I'm a white radio host. But as a guy who has a lot of different friends of different ethnicities, I'm married into an Asian American family. My thought is, support people and listen when they're talking to them. Don't downplay it because one news station is telling you to hate everything about that.
Right.
Open your ears and have good conversations. That's what we should be doing, and not dividing a country on an issue where you have a lot of people telling you, hey, this is real, this is happening. And now as time goes on, you have cell phone videos and everybody recording stuff. Listen, educate yourselves. Don't tune it out. That is the wrong approach to life.
Yeah, my only philosophy on this has always been, I'm never going to tell somebody who has to deal with something that I don't have to deal with how they should feel about it. Yeah. I grew up in a middle-class white neighborhood. I was very privileged. My parents were around. I was financially supported. I've never had to deal with any of that, and I'll never understand what it's like to deal with any of that. And so when I see the outrage and the frustration and the stuff boiling over, who am I to tell anybody how they should feel? I'm sure I would feel drastically different about it if I had to live with it day in and day out like a lot of people do in this country. That's always been my two cents on it, is allow people to show their frustrations because they're living in a reality that you're not living in.
Yeah. I'll share this. This is my final sharing on this, and then we'll get to the big question of the day. That is not
sports related.
Okay.
It's actually television related.
TV related.
So I want
question
people
of the day.
Yeah, I want people that, you know, you watch TV. I want you to chime in and share your thoughts on this, but I want to share this thread. I saw this last night. I'm also somebody that can laugh at myself. Not everybody has that ability. I have some listeners that text on a regular basis that I hate white people and I'm white.
Yeah.
So whatever. But I thought this was funny because it's true. And they're not alone here. But somebody said, black people riot when their anger over being murdered and oppressed reaches a boiling point. Here are some fun reasons why white people have rioted.
We have rioted. Yes, we have.
And we're not alone on this. A lot of races riot in these situations. But I thought this was kind of a funny observation. The first one was when their sports team loses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember Vancouver, Canada?
They burned down the city because they lost Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals to Boston.
A lot of white people in those images.
Flipping over cars.
How about conversely, they riot when their sports team wins.
They do. They absolutely
Let's burn cars and couches because we're national champions.
Tip some ambulances over.
This is one of my favorites. When their sports team coach decides to leave to coach somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a bit of a riot that goes on there.
Tennessee football, they had a riot go on when Lane Kiffin left them.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't
and she provides
that.
Examples for all these. She doesn't just blatantly say them.
They rioted when Lane Kiffin left?
Yeah. Another one. When they were told they couldn't party anymore.
you got to fight for your right
James
to party.
Madison University block party turns into a riot. 30 people arrested once they were told to stop partying. How about this one? When riots break out in New Hampshire over a pumpkin festival.
Well, dude, pumpkins are important, man. You got to find the right one.
Multiple overturned cars and lighting on fire, numerous public property.
Have you ever been that passionate about a pumpkin?
Never thought about that.
I'll just take another pumpkin.
Hey, anybody remember the scene at Penn State when Joe Pa got fired?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. Damn. That's a real issue to get behind and destroy property with.
Because, you know, they didn't turn into pedophiles. So.
It's okay. We're the human race, all right? That's my larger message. Have fun. Poke fun at yourself. Don't take everything so damn seriously. And listen to people when they talk about serious issues. It's okay to have a differing point of view and to hear a differing view.
Try and approach things with an open mind. We all need it.
All right, coming up next, we have a loaded second hour, and we're going to kick it off with a TV question of the day. And there's audio behind this one. So if you've watched this TV show, you're going to have to stick around because someone just destroys it. And we've got audio, and we need to talk about it. Hour two straight ahead. A lot more to get to. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. Hour two straight on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.